Luke 19 in your Bibles, Luke chapter 19. Just kind of stand, stretch your legs out and stand in reverence of God's Word. And we'll read some verses while you're turning. Let me say what a joy and an honor it is for my family to be here. We don't take this lightly. We are in full-time evangelism and we're just traveling all over where God lets us, where He leads us. We'll go. I don't have my favorite places to go. If God's going to be there, that's where I want to be. And God called us out, and we've just trusted Him by faith. And I'm loving every mile of the trip. Amen. I love doing what we get to do. There's no other place I'd rather be than the house of God, where God shows up and meets with His people. Every time I read about Jesus, He don't have kings and priests and Pharisees and all that hanging out. Now there's some of them there, but every time I read about Jesus, the priests and the Pharisees are hanging on the outside, but He's got a bunch of busted up, broke down people, got blind people, halt people, withered people. He's got people with leprosy. He's just got some people that's got all kinds of bad cases like we heard about this morning. But that's the thing I like about Him. He don't like hanging out with people who think they're too good for places like this. Every time I read about Jesus, He's touching one more person that's busted up and broke down. You know why people who's got problems like hanging out with Jesus? Because every time they get in His presence, they walk away different than when they came in. That's why I like hanging out in the presence of Jesus. Whatever you got wrong with you tonight, trust me, you can leave here different. Amen? Hallelujah. Can I say what a joy it has been for us? I don't take it lightly to stand at this pulpit. There's been some great men, better men than I could ever preach, stand in this place. But I thank you, preacher, for allowing us to be here. Luke 19, are you there? Say amen. The Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who He was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. I know his problem tonight. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Him. I like this part, for He was to pass that way. If you ever want to see Jesus, you need to get His itinerary and find out where He's hanging out. And just go ahead and go on down there. Buckle your seatbelt and get ready for something you've never seen before. The Bible says He was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw Him and said unto Him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. I want to go up and take this little phrase and preach out of this thought and try to give you something. And right before I do that, I'm going to pray. But I want to take this thought where it says, for He was to pass that way. I'm glad that Jesus is still passing by. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I need You tonight more than I've needed You ever before. God, I need You in this moment. Lord, get me out of the way. Don't let me be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal at this place tonight. Just somebody making a lot of noise. But Lord Jesus, if You'll just get me out of the way, empty us of self, fill us with Your Spirit, use us to serve Your kingdom, God, we will be sure and be thankful to give You the glory and honor for it all, because it is all about You. It ain't about this preacher. It ain't about this preacher's family. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about one who sits on high and looks down low tonight. I ask You in Jesus' name that You'd move in this place, get honor and glory for Yourself, and we'll walk away from here saying, my, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen and amen. You can have a seat. The Bible is introducing to you, I'm going to try to give you this as quick as I can, and then we're going to go eat somewhere, amen. But the Bible introduces to you a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Now he comes on the scene and leaves just as quick as he comes on the scene. You only hear one chapter read and talked about this man named Zacchaeus. But I find it very interesting that the first thing the Bible says about him is his status in life. The Bible says that he was the chief. That means he was the top dog. He had it going on. He was above everybody else. He had his pedigree. He had his bloodline. He had his position. And buddy, he was happy with that. Everybody looked up to Zacchaeus. He was the chief among the publicans. He was the chief, meaning he had a lot of pride. But he was also a glorified politician. He was a very popular man. Everybody voted for Zacchaeus. He rubbed elbows with everybody, with all the who's of the community. He had a lot of pride and he had a lot of popularity. And then the Bible goes on and says something else about this man, that he was rich. I find it very interesting that the Bible points out everything that this man has. He's got it going on like Donkey Kong. I mean, he's just got everything he could ever desire. He's got all the pride he could ever want. He's got all the popularity he could ever need. And he's got all the profit that he ever want. But can I tell you something? I like the next verse. It says, but he sought to see Jesus who he was. See, there's something in that that God just spoke to me. You can have everything this world tries to give you. You can have the white picket fence around your nice, beautiful two-story mansion. You can have that little yapping dog running around in the yard. You can have the wife. You can have the kids. You can have the job. You can have the bank account. But honey, can I tell you something? If you don't have Jesus, you still have nothing. The Bible said this man had it all, but he sought to see Jesus who he was. Can I tell you something tonight? If you're in here like that man we just read about, you have everything you could ever desire, but you're still as miserable as you've ever been. Can I tell you what you need to do in your life? You need to run headlong into the man whose name is Jesus. You need to find wherever he's hanging out. You need to fall at his feet and say, I'm empty. I'm miserable. I have nothing if I don't have Jesus. The Bible said he sought to see Jesus who he was. I sure am thankful that Jesus was passing by that man's town that day. But much more than that, I remember when I reached the bottom of my barrel. I'm going to have me a good time tonight. It may get loose up in here. I'm just going to have me a camp meeting time. I can already smell the sawdust. Hallelujah. I'm about to have me a fit. But I remember where I was at. I'd hit the bottom of my barrel. I looked around at my life and said, I'm living for nothing. I've got everything I could ever desire. And then I saw that man named Jesus. And he said, if you'll accept me like I am, I'll accept you like you are. And he came into my life. And I've never, never, never been the same since. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like I'm half crazy. You're almost right. I'm all the way crazy. I'm absolutely 100% in love with that man named Jesus. I like talking about Him. I like preaching about Him. I like preachers who like preaching about Him, because it's all tied up, wrapped up in that cross. His name's Jesus. The Bible said Zacchaeus had it all, but he went after Jesus. Can I tell you something? Three things you'll find tonight when Jesus passes by. Number one, these are the three things Zacchaeus found when Jesus was passing by his way. Number one, he found there's something attractive about that man named Jesus. There is something, don't let me lose you right there, there's something that inside of us Jesus calls out and just keeps drawing us to Himself. Every person Zacchaeus met, every day he lived, he heard stories about this man named Jesus. And every testimony about how good God was just drawing him one step closer to that place where he'd meet Jesus. I don't know who it was that told him about Jesus. Perhaps, my brother, one day Zacchaeus is sitting at his table and he's collecting all his money and he's doing all his thing and he's just doing what he was trained to do. He's doing what in his mind and in his flesh knew to do. And there he is sitting at his table. He's reading his book, finding out who else he's going to collect money from. And he looks up one day and off coming down the road is a man he recognizes. He looks down the road and says, I know that old boy. I bet he owes me money, but let me figure out who is this man. And he starts flipping in his book and he reads his name and says, it starts with a B. He's down there from Jericho. Bartimaeus, that's his name. Old Bartimaeus. Come here, Bartimaeus. Can I use you a minute? You look like a Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Last time I saw you, there was something different about you. And I just can't seem to guess what it is. Wait a minute. Blind Bartimaeus is what they used to call you. Wasn't you blind at one time, Bartimaeus? Oh yeah, Zacchaeus, I was blind. Well, where's your beggar's mug? And where's that cloak you used to wear? That old tattered rag you used to wear around it. And you had that cane walking around it. You had those glasses on because you didn't want anybody seeing your mess. You didn't want anybody seeing your mistake. You didn't want anybody seeing your handicap. So you tried to cover it up. Y'all know how that feels when you do that? Oh, Bartimaeus, last time I saw you, there was something messed up about you, but you sure do look different today. Well, I'm pretty busy, Zacchaeus, but I sure would love to tell you what happened to me one day sitting down by the wayside. There was a man named Jesus, and he come walking down the road, and I started hollering out. I'd done spent every dime I had. I'd done spent all the effort I had into being healed. The priest couldn't help me. The doctors couldn't help me. Nobody else could help me. So my last chance was this man named Jesus. And I began to cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He said, you know what all those religious people said? They said, you can't be doing that around here. You got to be quiet. You got to quieten down. Hey, that's what they tell me. They say, you're supposed to be a little reverent. You went to Bible college. You can't act crazy. Honey, if you knew how blind I used to be, you'd know I can't keep quiet when Jesus is a passing by. So I cried thus the more. I like how the Bible puts it. He cried even louder. When they tell you you can't shout like that around here, rev it up in another gear and say, hey, stop me if you can. The devil's been trying for years and he can't stop me. I won't stop until I reach the feet of Jesus. So he cried thus the more. You'll never believe it, Zacchaeus. He stopped right in his tracks, wheeled on me, and he looked at me and said, hey son, what is it I can do for you? Now get that, Zacchaeus. Everybody else looks at me, kicks at me, walks over me, and says, you can't ever do nothing for us. What need have we of you? But Jesus didn't ask me what I could do for him. He asked what he could do for me. And I said that I may be born blind. Have a seat, Bartimaeus. that I may see and get my sight. And all of a sudden, I felt a hand on my brow and I blinked my eyes and the first face I saw was Jesus. I love to sit here and talk to you, but they said He's coming to town today. I'm off to see Jesus. I'll see you later. And there He goes running down the road. And here's old Zacchaeus wondering in his mind, my God, blind people can see. He looks up and all of a sudden three more people come down the road. Can you imagine what it was that drew Zacchaeus to Jesus? He had never heard anybody talking about blind people getting healed. He looks up one day. I believe three more people could have come down his road. He looks at him and he says, I know those two girls. And one of them is Mary. And in my book it says Martha. And then the other one is Lazarus. Lazarus, wait a minute. Lazarus, is that you? Yes, yeah, me, Zacchaeus. You know me well. Lazarus, my book says you're deceased. Something ain't right here. We must have made a mistake. Oh no, you didn't make a mistake. I was. Zacchaeus, or Lazarus, dead people can't get up and walk. It's against the law around here for dead people to get up and start walking around. And wait a minute. Lazarus, I went to your funeral. I saw him put you in the ground. I saw him roll that stone. I was there 3 days waiting for your sisters to pay me. I left after 3 days. I know you was in there. Oh, Zacchaeus, you should have hung around another day. Because there's a man named Jesus who come by. Hey, man. And there I was sitting in my grave, and I heard somebody call my name, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And there I am doing what dead people do. It's not a real exciting life being dead. You're just laying there with everybody else enjoying life, and there I am as miserable and dead as I could be. And so when I heard my name, I thought the only kind thing to do is get up, go find out what they want. So there I go, hopping out of my grave. But I realized, Zacchaeus, something was wrong. I was alive on the inside, but I still looked dead on the outside. Hey, there may be somebody in here tonight, and you know what it's like to be alive on the inside, but those death clothes still have you wrapped up. Do you know what you need to do? Do just like that man Lazarus did. Get closer to the voice that called you and hear Him say, loose him and let him go. I got closer to the voice that called me. I heard, loose him and let him go. Wouldn't it be a good thing tonight if you just felt those grave clothes just fall at your feet? If you felt those chains that death and sin and the devil has put on you and they just fell at your feet tonight, that's the power in the name of Jesus. I love to sit there and talk to you, Zacchaeus, but he's coming down the road. Well, I'll see you later. What do you think went through the mind of Zacchaeus when he sits down at his lonely little table and he's thinking about all that Jesus is doing outside of His office? Zacchaeus says, I've never heard anything like that before. I've never been able to buy anything like that before. What is Jesus doing? Every testimony is drawing him closer and closer. That is the attractiveness of Jesus. It's what He does. See, your problems, you think they're problems to you that you get just because you're living a life that's problematic. Your problems that you're dealing with, your issues that you're going through, you feel like maybe there's a mistake I missed somewhere down the road. But what you do not know is all those problems you go through are just a platform for God to show how powerful He really can be. Every one of those problems ought to get you, not drive you further away from Him, but ought to get you going to find out where He's at. Falling at His feet. Finding out where Jesus is passing by. Not only the attractiveness of Jesus, but notice the availability of Jesus. I'm going to have me a good time right here. The Bible said that he was to pass that way. And it says that when Zacchaeus got there to the parade party, he realized he couldn't see him. The Bible says because he was little of stature. The press was too much, and he found out he was shorter than everybody else. See, isn't that amazing? While Zacchaeus is sitting on his pedestal, he's higher than everybody else. He's the chief. When he's in his area, when he is in his comfort zone, when he is in his element of flesh and life, he's better than everybody else. But there's something that takes place when you start hanging out with Jesus. You'll start realizing how short you really are. No man can stand tall in the presence of Jesus. When he got to the place, he realized when he was hunting for Jesus, he's not as big as he thought he was. So he climbed up in a tree. For he was to pass that way. Then the Bible says that when Jesus came to the place, I find that amazing. The Bible, do you believe like I believe? I believe that every phrase in that Bible, every jot and tittle, every little bitty mark, every little bitty comma, every little bitty period is anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Don't believe there's any mistakes right in that King James Bible. I don't believe it at all. The Bible said that when Jesus came to the place, what place? The place where Jesus was trying to get Zacchaeus all along. Caught up in a tree. The Bible says when he came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, he knows my name. Yes. Never met him before and he knows my name. You better believe he knows you. Yes, sir. He's had his eye on you the whole time. Yes. Been messing around. When he came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going home with you. Now, wait a minute. I thought it was Zacchaeus looking for Jesus. In fact, I read it. It said he sought to see Jesus who he was. I wished I could have told him. Just read a couple verses later in verse number 10 where it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Did you see that? Zacchaeus is coming down one end of the road and is looking to see Jesus. But what he does not know is on the other end of the road, here comes Jesus looking to save Zacchaeus. I said, I'm going to say it again, make the devil mad. On one end, Zacchaeus just wants to see Jesus. I just got to see Him. He don't have to recognize me. I just want to know if what they're saying is true. There's somebody in this building tonight. You didn't go to church because you had a deep desire to go. You just wanted to know what all the talk was about. And when you got here, you didn't know it, but Jesus had been looking for you. Whoa! Glory to God. I remember one day when I got up from my pew and I was looking, I didn't understand everything about Him. I didn't know anything about Him, but I was just looking to see who this Jesus was. And on the other end of the road, here comes Jesus looking to save a soul that needs Him. I don't know if you're in here tonight. You're as miserable. You wish to God I'd shut up. I ain't gonna shut up until you either smile or get right with God. But I'm here to tell you, God's got His eye on you. He's like a good hunting dog. He'll tree whatever He tracks. Oh, oh, here He comes. Oh, treat Him. Said, Zacchaeus, I've come to go home with you. What is that? That's Jesus making Himself available. Could Jesus have passed by? Oh yeah, He could have. But I'm glad He didn't. He makes Himself available. See, Zacchaeus, when he got there, realized how short he was. But there's a verse in the Bible that talks about that. It said, all have sinned. How many is all? If you're a part of all, I want you to raise your hand. Keep it up. If you're a part of all, raise your hand. The Bible said, keep it up. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn around and look at all the sinners in the building tonight. Let me tell you something. I can put on a tie as well as I want to. I can put on a vest. I can put on a white shirt. I can put on shoes. I can do all that. But honey, all I'm covering up is a mess. I'm covering up dirt. I can cover up. You can put makeup. I wouldn't put makeup on. But y'all can put makeup on, bless God. I ain't that kind of Baptist, amen. You can put makeup on all you want to. But at best, we're still a mess without Jesus. Zacchaeus, come on down. And the Bible said that he received him joyfully. Do you remember when you got saved? You sure didn't go home and cry because you was miserable about it. If you ever met Jesus, you didn't go home and cry miserably. You received Him joyfully. And if you ever want to receive Jesus, you have to receive Him at the foot of a tree. Isn't that amazing? That He's coming down that way, and He's coming down that way, and they meet in the middle of the road at the foot of a tree. Whoa! Glory to God. My preachers told me that anytime you get to preaching, you need to always cut cross country and get yourself wrapped up and tied up. Walk up that lonely hill called Calvary and preach about the cross just a little bit. Can I tell you something? That is the defining factor of your life. That is the place where you leave what you used to be and become what you can be. But every man, if he's ever going to see life and life abundantly, if he's ever going to see God, he's got to meet Him at the foot of the tree called Calvary. The availability of Jesus. Then he said, I'm going home with you, Zacchaeus. Then he looked at him and he said, today salvation has come to this house. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time God was seen at your house? I find it amazing. I'm done. I'm having me a good time. But y'all preach a man to death. Having me a good time. I find it amazing that of all the people there, Jesus looked at that rot gut sinner and said, today I'm going home with you. Because see, there's something about Jesus. You can't leave Him here. He said, today I must abide at your house. Not only is He attractive, not only will you find that He's available, but you'll find He's abiding. He'll go home with you. My marriage is splitting up. My children won't act right. My children are running around. My grandchildren won't even go to church. And it breaks my heart, preacher. What would happen tonight if Jesus went home with you and saved your house? Got a problem in this day and age. I found out where daddies ain't relating to babies about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, do I got children in here, or are they running around the city acting crazy? One of them's asleep. Look at this. Isn't that the best looking baby you ever saw in your life? Yes, it is. That's my sweetheart. I have lost it all. If I can preach to all these, and I can't even reach my own home. I want this baby to be raised up under singing just like Miss Patcher did over there. It's not foreign to my youngins to go to church. They need salvation real bad, but it's not foreign to them to go to church. God can and will save your home, but He got to go home with you first. I'm not letting Hollywood raise my children. They done made a mess of my family as it is. I'm not letting doctors of this world tell me how to raise my child. I'm going to stick it by the book. I'm going to raise these kids up where they know what it is to go to the altar and pray. I'm going to raise these kids up to where they know what gospel preaching is. I mean, hacking preachers that like to sweat, that like to spit to the third row, that like to preach the lungs back up in the balcony. That's where I'm going to raise my kids up, because I want my home saved. He's an abiding Savior. Who had this? I don't know. Y'all take it. Abiding. What would it be like if God came home with you tonight? If you didn't just leave Him here, but you had enough boldness to reach up there and say, and I'm not preaching against television. I got two of them. Neither one of them work, but I got two of them. But you'd turn that off and say, you know what, tonight, let's pray. Tonight, let's just read one chapter out of the Bible and go to bed. With the last thing we think about tonight is Jesus, and the first thing we think about tomorrow morning is Jesus. What if daddies would just stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to be a daddy. Anybody can be a father. Anybody can carry the label of being a father. There's a lot of them fathering their children. Ain't a lot of them daddying their babies. I don't know about y'all, but I want God to go home with me. How many of us have the preacher told us tonight, we're going, I'm going to come eat with you. I'm going to bring the evangelist and everybody else who wants to come, we're going to come to your house. How many of you say, preacher, give me about 2 weeks to clean up, and then y'all come over. If preacher came over tonight to your house, if you're anything like us, you'd probably have that one room that when somebody comes over, you just throw all your stuff in there and shut it. That's the one room when company comes that the door is shut and don't ever get open. They take their coat off and say, can I go put it on your bed? No, you sit down. Sit down. Take a load off. Sit down. Just lean back, close your eyes, and you run back there, open that door, throw that coat in and shut it and pray to God whatever's in there don't get out. My wife, she loves to decorate the house. She's got these candles that when you light them up, those willow-wick candles. Buddy, I'm talking about, she's got them that make you feel like you're in an evening meadow. Decorates the house, but we got that one room. I wish they'd make a candle that smells like fresh cut grass. Somebody need to be thinking about a man when they're making them things. Bless God. Something that smells like lumber. Hallelujah. Y'all ever go in Lowe's and just sniff the lumber?
Yes, sir.
Sir, can I help you with something? Nope, just smelling your lumber. Crazy man on aisle 12. Stay away from that paint department. That'll mess you up. We're good about decorating the house. We're good about making everything seem what we want it to seem. But did you know that when God comes home with you, He keeps His eye on what nobody else sees? He'll look back at that door back there and say, "What's back there?" You'll say, "No, Lord, don't worry about that, Lord. Just come sit down, take a load off. Don't worry about that. I've got that taken care of. That's got stuff back there from years and years. I just hadn't been able to do anything with it. And see, back in that room is stuff that somebody did to you that you couldn't get over. You was 15 and somebody mishandled you. And you can't get over it. It's not only stuff that people have done to you, but it's stuff you've done to other people that you can't get over. Every time you think about a memory, or every time you see somebody, every time you hear their voice, you think about it's also back in that room is stuff you've done to yourself. And you can't get over it. In that room, there's shattered pictures that used to be a family and now it's shredded pieces on the floor. And you go in there and look at it and you say, "I can't put this back together." But did you know when God comes home with you, He says, "What's back there? Don't worry about that, Lord." No. I didn't come for your candles. I didn't come for what you decorate everybody else for. I came for that back there. Lord, you don't want to see that. That's bags of trash. It's stuff I've been carrying. I can't figure out what to do with it. Do you know what He'll do when He goes home with you? He walks back there, opens that door, and Mama or Daddy will say, "You should have cleaned that. It's a mess. You ought to be ashamed of yourself." Friends say, "I cannot believe you've got all this trash just hoarded up." But Jesus ain't like everybody else. You know what He says? "I can clean this. I tell you what, I got an idea. Let me arrange everything in here and let's make that my room. And I'll live there. And I'll live out of what you've been trying to hide from everybody." That's the good graces of God. When He goes home with you, He saves a household. Stand to your feet. The abiding of Jesus. The availability of Jesus. The attractiveness of Jesus. Close your eyes, bow your heads. I'm going to pray and preacher's coming.